What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 27th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Happy Monday, everybody. Yes, of course, you'll have the list coming out later today, so go check it out at PitcherList.com, and you will see the live stream on the homepage. Also, if you are a PL Plus or PL Pro member, you do get an earlier edition of the list. I put out my initial rankings that I make during that live stream on our Discord, so you can see the rankings before it's published on the site for everyone else in your league. So if you want that little extra advantage, you got to get PL Plus or PL Pro. You can get a discount 15% off with promo code podcast. Go use it today. Chase DeLander, 7 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts against the Mets. Oh my gosh, it was against the Mets. But Chase DeLander, away from Coors, is really, really good. He's improved this year. He increases velocity a tick. He locates his four-seamer upstairs much better than he did last year. He has an improved arsenal around it. It's not really the most consistent. It's not the type of arsenal I wish he had, but it's still a good slider with extra sweep than your typical 87 gyro. It is also a big curveball and sweeper in there too. He has some sinkers he mixes in there, but in reality, it's just about that four-seamer being one of the flattest in the league at 99. So think like Joe Ryan, but at a higher velocity. That's what you're dealing with. It's really, really awesome. And we're at the point that I would pick up a Colorado Rockies pitcher. Yes, I don't know how high I'm going to rank him. You're going to have to tune in later today for that one, but I would be picking up DeLander. Not Sean Burke after 7-point winnings of 0 runs. Foster Griffin is still just a Toby. He's not going to go a 30% put-away rate as he did well against the White Sox for 8 strikeouts and 17-0 runs, but he's fine. He can be a Vargas Will you want. Kyle Harrison had an amazing game. We're talking 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, 12 strikeouts, a golden goal, 23 whiffs, 35% CSW. Oh my gosh. This was one of those games where he had his changeup and his curveball really working downstairs. Now, in the previous game, it was a still ill. That is coming off of, I guess, a two-week break. Not really an IL, but he was pushed back a ton. And it was 3 innings, not efficient. It was really shaking off the rust. And this is really more of an indication of what Kyle Harrison is like. That said, I don't know if we're going to see this consistent command with Kyle Harrison. It's always been the problem. It's not necessarily that, oh, he needed the changeup to be great. No. Curveball and changeup always have been not really something he always commands. This is what it looks like when it's really good against a bad team. This was also against right-handers, and you're going to see some more lefties. Not totally just all right-handers or lefties. It's going to be probably like 6-3 in that one, which means we will get 3 lefties that he'll have to deal with. He should be fine with them, but it's not the same kind of systematic stream of all right-handers that you can just get into that rhythm, right? Kyle Harrison, to me, is that cherry bomb type. He's not a lock to do this all the time, but yeah, you should have him on your teams. Justin Robleski is someone I would be selling. 6 innings of earned runs against the Cubs, and he has a 6% swing strike rate in this start and overall. I mean, he had a tick down in this too. He's still 2-pitch with 4-seamer slider. I feel like I'm Jesse and Pinkman saying he can't get away with it because what's going on? He's a Vargas Will if you want. Against the Cardinals, sure, but 4 walks, 4 hits, 6 Ks. I can't do it. Ace is going to ace for Chris Sale. Max Meyer, 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks against the Giants. That's really nice. Yeah, he's not really too interesting, though. Slider sweepers are really good for Max Meyer. Fastball is under 60% strikes in this. I don't know why he's throwing it 29% of the time. You can throw 20% and have the same outcome and not have so many bad strikes, balls being thrown. Max Meyer's going to get the Phillies and the Orioles. That's fine, I think. I mean, the Flower Ring Phillies, I don't know how we feel about that one. I don't feel like I need to hold on to Max Meyer. I'd rather go for like Harrison, rather go for Toldy, DeLander, etc., etc. JT Ginn, he left this game with right arm soreness, and that's just, I feel bad for him. You have Spencer Arrighetti doing incredibly well against the Yankees. 7 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 8 Ks. That is so good. And then I realized, oh right, he's a cherry bomb type where it's more about if he can execute what he does, less so than the opponent he faces. That doesn't go to say that the opponent doesn't matter. The opponent is more about the middle ground and the floor. That is, the opponent he faces, if he's not really locked in full, then he's going to be damaged more against a team like the Yankees than, say, like the Pirates or the Marlins or so. And the Pasta Pirate here had his stuff going against lefties. That is, curveballs and sweepers earned four backward strikeouts, called looking to lefties as he went on the outside edge. He also had three curveball whiffs against lefties and one against righty for all those strikeouts for eight of them. And I don't want to buy in because he gets Fenway next and then he gets Cincinnati. And I recognize, oh, he just did it against the Yankees. He's totally fine. The cutter isn't really a big part of it right now. I don't know if I can bank on that sweeper and curveball being as effective. He's not really the greatest four-seamer command. It was much better against lefties upstairs, definitely. I'm not ready to say like, oh, cool, this is who he is now. Because, right, we've seen the good start against in Houston. Then we saw the bad one against the Guardians, I think it was. And good one. It just keeps going. I'm not totally buying in here. I can't do it. You have Michael McGreevy against the Mariners. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. And that's nice. He has a 0.9 whip in his sub-3 ERA through 6 starts. But now he gets the Dodgers and he gets the Padres and then Sacraverde. So maybe Michael McGreevy is the one I actually do go for. And maybe Vargas will after all of that. But I can't obviously do that now. Jose Quintana did really well against the Mets in Citi Field. Must have felt great to be back there for a moment. But, you know, you cannot do this. Nolan McClain on the other side. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. Ace is going to ace. But also, can you please be better than that? You should have destroyed them, not a 1.4 whip here. Come on. You also took the loss here, which is wild. And, yep, you got to be better. They need you, Nolan. Connelly Early against the Orioles got a win. 6.2 innings, I should say. 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. He's a solid Holly. And I know the strikeouts aren't as high right now. I think he's just going to get more reps, have a little bit better command on those breaking balls to lefties, and just really get more and more into the rhythm of this. But Connelly Early has really good stuff, a wide arsenal. I think he's going to be that 6-inning-plus guy, really good quality start arm, just all around solid. And you're going to see a lot of other guys who are getting these 12-strikeout games, these 8-strikeout games or so, and you're going to go, oh, I got to get that one. I got to get in on that one. No, just stay with Early. Early is the guy that you're just so happy that you have in August. Right, he's that consistent arm. We have Michael King against the Diamondbacks, but this was in Mexico City, and also Ryan Nelson allowed 2 home runs that went for 5 earned runs in this one. Like, that's why Ryan Nelson was bad in that one. I mean, he's gone through what, 8 earned runs in 1 inning, not even in 1 out, all from balls in play. And then you have Mexico City. Like, do not overjudge Ryan Nelson for those 2 games, please. And then Michael King, wow, 8 strikeouts. Okay, 2 earned runs, 4 base runners in 6 innings. That's pretty remarkable. He had a 68% 2-strike rate. And if you've heard me reference this and put away rate more, it's because I added to my dashboard these 2 stats, which are really helpful for me to grasp the things that can create outliers for strikeouts. That is, how often they're getting to 2-strike counts, usually is around like 57% on the average, something like that. And then you have put away rate, which is roughly around 20 to 22%. On average, the higher strikeout guys are 23% and lower are like 18. And so if you see big jumps in a start, like, yeah, 68% 2-strike rate is really high. That means he has a lot more opportunities to get strikeouts. Then you have a put away rate that is, say, 35% or so. Then it's like really exceptional. This was not that, but it was the 68% 2-strike rate. So that's cool. I just want to explain that those stats to you guys because you might be confused a little about why, but you know, how they matter and why I keep talking about them. Michael King's good. We're just going to go against the White Sox and hope that he's all good and is going to just cruise there on out. Kumar Rocker against the Athletics. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. I do not buy into this one. It's just not real. It's like an 83 mile per hour slider that is a little bit better than a gyro because it goes straight down, but like not by much. And then a 16 inch horizontal sinker at like 93, 94. Like, what? 90, 94. I don't want to do that. That's so just not in it. Sorry. Emerson Hancock against the Cardinals did not have his four seamer. 44% strikes, 1/16 whiffs on it, and he adapted. He then went sinker focused with changeup. Now his sweeper was 3/14 strikes. The cutter wasn't really that good. And this was the bad game, but it was 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 9 base runners, 4 Ks. We'll take that. And to see a bad feel for his arsenal is with this kind of result is good, right? Like, this was going to happen. I'm very curious how he rebounds from here. You have Rhett Lauder against the Tigers. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. Whoa, he got 6 over 27 whiffs on the slider. A lot of really good ones to right-handers down and away. He won't get those strikeouts a ton. He's just kind of a Toby and whatever play like that. Patrick Corbin could be a Toby in 15 teamers. 4.2 innings of 2 earned runs. He was 4 clean, and then the 5th inning was just really, really rough, and he couldn't finish the inning. You have Jesse Schultens, who got you the vulture win if you went after him, because he had an opener for Tampa Bay and got the win against the Twins, but it was 1 strikeout, 6 base runners, 2 earned runs, 4.1 innings. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And yeah, I don't really want to go for it consistently. Landon Roop was amazing, save for a low 0-2 curveball that hit a 3-run homer. And here's the thing. He allowed 4 base runners on the night across 7.2 innings with 6 strikeouts, where his last batter was a walk. So what I'm trying to tell you is that across those 7.2 innings, the second inning, he allowed 3 base runners to start it, I believe it was, with that home run. And then everything else was just straight outs. He is pitching super, super, super well. And I am very in on Landon Roop against the Rays and the Pirates. Kyle Bradish, oh my gosh, Nick, you're going to defend the guy. You're like, no, I'm not. I'm going to tell you that, yeah, I'm going to be lowering him on the list. 5 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, 3 Ks. And it's pretty easy to understand Kyle Bradish. I get a lot of pushback when I get people telling me things about their whip and their ERA so far in a year. And I just can't express enough that, like, yes, that is what happened. And we are using that information in context with every other piece of information we have about this player to try and understand what they'll be in the future. And Kyle Bradish is not a pitcher who is going to go for the next 5 months averaging 1 over 31 whiffs on his slider. He's also not going to have a 41% strike rate on his curveball. So what I'm trying to do is figure out, okay, in that kind of bad outing, it was 5 innings of 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, 3 Ks, and 8 whiffs. Fortunately, that's not like 2 innings of 7 earned runs or whatever. And it's clear that when he has his secondaries, when he has the slider and curve that we saw him have all of his return last year and before Tommy John, that he is a much better pitcher. So the question is, when does that happen? Well, this is what I see. You get the Yankees next. Feel free not to do that one, right? It's just too risky. He's not in a good place. So then the floor becomes even lower against a team like that. But then he'll get the Marlins. So you're going to start him for the Marlins. And if we're still really seeing just this guy can't find it, then the faith in him rebounding goes down, right? It's always about a weight of the value now versus value later. How high is that value later? How high do we, or how realistic is it for him to be better in the near future? I think he's going to be better in the near future. So it's up to you to decide what you want to do. I'm going to lower him from like the 30. I think I'm at like 33 or something. Yeah, I'll lower him. Duh. But I'm not going to lower him to like 70 or something like that. I think it's still in the short term from this point moving forward, because that's all you can do. Don't do the gambler's fallacy on me, guys. Sunk cost and all that stuff. In the short term, it's worth it for skipping one start and then after, because it could be 5 months of greatness after. Okay? Kiedir Montero against the Reds. Very boring. 5 innings, 3 runs, and you shouldn't go after him. Kodai Senga, yes, you can drop him. That was against Rocky Road. 2.2 innings of 3 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and just 1 strikeout. Oh my gosh. Just move on from Kodai Senga. All right, we have other pitchers we've got to talk about from yesterday, including Reed Detmers and many, many others. Shota Imanaga and Nola and Lugo, etc. And of course, we're going to talk about today and tomorrow's games. I'm going to do all that after this break. Reed Detmers, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Textbook careful Icarus, because he was amazing through 5. And then he faced 3 batters in the 6th. Single, home run, and walk. 3 of his base runners, 2 of his earned runs. He's still really good. He gets the Mets next. It's all cool. You have Kodai Senga, as already mentioned. And remember, drop him. Just if you missed it before the break, drop him now. Slade Ciccone, 5.2 innings, 4 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. It was a careful Icarus, too. He was pitching better. And then he allowed 2 runs coming in to the 6th with a single and a home run. So 5 innings of 200 runs, and it was a good outing up to then. Now, the one thing that really matters is that the cutter was now up 1.5 ticks. Okay, 88.5, not 87. So I think this is a really good situation where he's going to Sacramento, that is Sacramento next. And no one wants that. So he's going to stay on the wire, which means then you can be the smart fantasy manager and be like, okay, is the cutter still above 88? And if so, maybe then I can go after the Royals after. You have Simeon Woods Richardson, who honestly, I don't feel is long for this rotation because once Abel comes back, I think Prelip's a much better pitcher. And I would suggest that the Twins move on from Simeon Woods Richardson. You have Carmen Muljinski, not a fun one, 3 great innings. And then it was just a really bad fourth frame as just so many hits, 5 hits and a catcher's interference. And he was out of the game. He only threw 9 curveballs on 81 pitches, though. And that's, you got to do more than that, Muljinski. It's a good pitch. It's your best one. Now, he gets the Reds carpet and then goes into Oracle Park against the Giants and then gets Rocky Road. And I can't help myself. I feel like that's just too good for a 15-teamer and maybe good enough for a 12-teamer. Shota Imanaga did not do well against the Dodgers. 5.1 innings of 5 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. What you got to know is that he was still 92 on the 4-seamer, but it was a 43% strike rate with 1 over 35 whiffs. That's really unfortunate. And also, a few of the sweepers that were generally dope against left-handers, some of them got too much at the plate, and the splitter was fantastic against right-handers. The Dodgers, fine, whatever. Aaron Nola, you can drop him if you haven't yet. Just going to tell you that right now. He gets the Marlins next. His fastball command is just not what it used to be. And the curveball is looking good. The changeup is down, fine, but no, those fastballs are not. So I'm out on Nola. Luis Gil might not even make another start because he went 4 innings of 600 runs with 3 walks and 0 strikeouts against the Astros. And now Carlos Rodon is on the verge of returning. And guess what? Since I wrote the roundup, Luis Gil was demoted, and he was demoted after this game. So, yep, that's it. It was a fun time. Hopefully he becomes a reliever. I'll be honest with you. I think there's a lot of relief skill here. And it does at least say, look, if there are necessary adds to this rotation down the road, it might be LeGrandje ahead of Gil. And lastly, there's Seth Lugo. And it would be so easy for me to say, all right, 6.1 innings, 700 runs, 14 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Vargas rule done. Let's jump ship. Well, okay. It was raining. This was for Detmers as well in that sixth inning when it all fell apart. Rain. I should have mentioned that before. And the velocity was down all of the start, but it was more so later on. And he also goes into Seattle next and then gets the Guardians and then gets the White Sox. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to give it one more. Just one more. Let's see if the curveball is still at 75 instead of 77 to 78. It might be worthwhile. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. We have up here Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Max Fried, Dylan Cease. Auto starts, of course. You have Parker Messick, Connor Prelip. Yes, I'm starting him. Guys, I can't express this enough. The four-seamer upstairs location with the slider down is phenomenal. And also in that debut, he did not have his changeup working as well as he should against right-handers. It was working much better in the minors. I see here that Bucket Man on the Twitch stream, which by the way, you should be joining me every single weekday morning. I try to be 10 a.m. It has been 11 a.m. at times. I apologize. He's saying that Prelip's fastball had a 740 Expo Bacon and doesn't get whiffs. I will say you are going to see that change when you have the changeup actually working against right-handers. In addition, I heavily recommend that we don't use Expo Bacon as your stat to kind of say like this is a good pitch or a bad pitch, especially in a short sample. I'm not about result-based pitches, and I understand this one. I like this one a little bit more than the usual stuff because it's talking about the quality of contact, and that's cool. But sometimes also with Expo Bacon, like flares get included into that as well. I use hard contact and soft contact, which all it does is it takes the barrel, solid, and burner and puts that into hard, and then takes everything else and puts it into weak. And I know that there's kind of like a middle ground of like a 90 mile per hour or whatever. That's fine. But I say flares, which are beneficial to hitters, are weak contact, right? But I would say that the arsenal of Connor Prelip is not four-seamer slider. It is much more expansive than that. We saw in the debut him kind of limit it. We don't really see the curveball, honestly. That is a new pitch this year and really good. It hasn't really shown up. But the main takeaway is that the stuff is great and the command was far better than expected on four-seamers and sliders. I mean, we knew he had good command, but that was insanely good. So that's where I am on Prelip. You have Steven Matz after Prelip, who is Pilobots picked for today at Cleveland, which I understand completely, but like it's just not that high of a floor. High of a ceiling to me. And I think he's a little bit better against right-handers. You will see some right-handers, though, from Cleveland, of course. I just think a Prelip is just too good of a play in general, and I feel like I just want to favor that more. Matthew Boyd against the Padres. I have him underneath these guys. Maybe I should have it above it, but at the same time, it's the worst matchup against the Padres. Randy Vasquez against the Cubs. I think Randy Vasquez is just a very safe play these days, like a low-end Holly. A questionable start, Luis Castillo away from Seattle at Minnesota. It could be fine. I just feel like you should be moving on from Luis Castillo. Dustin May at Pittsburgh. He's been better than the first two starts of the year. Kahanowitz against the White Sox. Maybe that works. I just don't love him. I feel like it's more of a 15-team play. Ranger Suarez against the Jays. It's at Toronto, and he's not in the perfect rhythm yet. Jack Leiter gets the Yankees, and I have him here in the same vein that Spencer Arrighetti should have been, where if he has his stuff working, he's going to be good. I just don't think it's going to be that high of a chance. And it's a really low floor against the Yankees. Then you have Chris Paddock against the Dodgers, no way. Anthony Kay against the Angels, no. And Wilbur Dortel is a vulture win possibility, as he is the bulk, but I do not expect him to do exceptional things. Auto starts are pretty easy. You have Ohtani, Schiller, DeGrom, Burns, Gilbert. Yes, Joe Ryan against Seattle. Don't say that the Mets game is what he is now. Jose Soriano, I mean, come on, who's going to not start Jose Soriano if he's on your team? And Jesus Luzardo against the Giants. Luzardo has had terrible luck and should be much better. Now, probable start is interesting because you have Peyton Tolley at the Jays. You're not going to get the same performance. I don't know if he's going to have the same fastball command. I don't know if the secondary is really going to wake up. I'm very curious to see what we get, but obviously the ceiling is high enough that we have to do it. Davis Martin's been a Vargas role in the Angels. Eric Cabrera threw more singles than four seamers. Yes. Clay Holmes gets the Nationals, and I worry a little bit about that because the Nationals are left-handers, and he's a sinker baller, which means more BABIP volatility, but we'll see. I mean, I feel like it's worth your time. Braxton Ashcraft's at the top of this against the Cardinals. I feel like if you have him, you're just pretty much going to start him. You have Merrill Kelly against the Brewers as well, and Chris Bubich at Sacre Verde. I'm a little bit worried about Bubich, of course, in Sacre Verde, but then you also have Kelly, who is better than what we've seen so far from the Stillale. And then you have questionable start of Tyler Mahle. I could even consider pushing him into the second tier because Mahle's been throwing a lot harder at 93 miles per hour. And the Phillies are not really the scariest thing ever. Shane Baz hasn't really found his groove. Tanner Bibee against the Rays. You never know when you're going to get there. Nick Martinez could have a good changeup against the Guardians. Casey Mize is pitching better, but it's the tough Atlanta offense. So I really don't want to do that. And Chad Patrick could go 5+ innings. It's not really the highest quality against the Diamondbacks. Then you have Aaron Civale against the Royals and do not start. Martin Perez, Kyle Leahy, Sugano, Junk, Littell, Buehler, Yesavage. It's a still ill. Don't activate him for this, please. Please just leave him on the IL. For one more day and keep whatever else you were going to drop for it. Just don't do it in the first one. And Kaiwei Tang is likely leading a bullpen game. It could be Ryan Weiss at the end of it. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.